Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Tuesday, May 1st, 2007, 2 a.m. on the nose here in the Central Time Zone. And welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, the only officially sanctioned website of the network. And our website, of course, franklyspeakingradio.com. Webmaster James working very hard to bring that to you. So support him. Let him know that you appreciate all of his hard work, as I try to do on a regular basis. Our phone number as well, in case you have your comments you'd like to make, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Okay, we've got a lot to cover here in this final hour. We're going to try to do some news here and talk about politics. Because again, with the illegal immigrant rallies or whatever they want to call it happening later today, that's going to be perhaps an issue, although I think it's probably not got the pull for a presidential campaign that it once did. But I think you'll see a lot of people kowtowing. Much like we saw in the aftermath of the Virginia Tech shootings, you will see various presidential hopefuls, certainly the heavy hitters, out there making waves in the media as they either support or deny their sort of position, I guess, on illegal immigrants. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of politicians, and of course we are already in the midst of a presidential cycle, which is bizarre to me, this one from brisbanetimes.com.au out of Australia came out earlier yesterday, or today if you prefer. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton has dropped the use of her maiden name Rodham in her bid for Democratic presidential nomination. Clinton identifies herself as, quote, Hillary Clinton, end quote, in her campaign press releases and on her campaign website. The only mention of her maiden name is in a campaign biography that says, quote, Hillary's father, Hugh Rodham, was the son of a factory worker from Scranton, end quote. She continues to use Hillary Rodham Clinton in her New York-focused press releases and in the Senate. Clinton appeared surprised last week when asked why her presidential campaign had dropped her maiden name. Clinton laughed, shook her head, and replied, quote, I haven't, and then dashed off. Well, there's a reason why she dropped it, and anybody who's familiar with Arkansas knows the rationale there, but we'll get to it. Howard Wolfson, a top communications advisor to Clinton, downplayed any significance of the change. When asked if it was a strategic decision to drop Rodham, Wolfson replied, quote, that's a fair question, but there's no plan behind it, end quote. I disagree. The second-term senator and former first lady has emphasized various names in Arkansas and Washington, D.C. over the past 25 years. Lori Schubel, a sociologist at Pennsylvania State University who has studied the choice of last names by married women, said Clinton's decision to drop her maiden name puts her in sync with the vast majority of married women in America. Says Schubel, quote, to most people, family means everyone having the same last name. She's doing the right thing politically to appeal to the most voters. She is conforming to the social norm, end quote. Married working women often face a dilemma over whether to retain their maiden name alone, use both their maiden name and their husband's last name, or use their husband's last name alone. Clinton and seven other married women in the Senate have adopted the names of a husband. Only Clinton and Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson have used their maiden names in conjunction with their husband's last names. So the old hyphenated thing. Schubel says her research shows that 95% of married women use a husband's last name. Of those, about 25% informally use their maiden name as a middle name. About 4% retain their maiden name as their last name. And about 1% legally change their last names to hyphenated names that include both their maiden name and a husband's last name. So very, very slim percentage of women in America using the hyphenated thing. But I have seen it. I'm sure you have as well. Maybe you're one of those people. I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know, some sort of empowerment thing with people. I don't know. To me, it's, I don't know, always seemed kind of silly. But anyway, that's just my take on it. Stay with us after this quick break. We'll be back with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're talking about politics here. And Hillary Rodham Clinton is dropping the Rodham in her presidential run. Of course, she says that there's nothing to it, but there is something to it. And here's the skinny. Hillary Rodham married Bill Clinton, her Yale Law School classmate, in 1975 in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where I live. She continued to identify herself as Hillary Rodham in her private legal career at the prestigious Rose Law Firm in Little Rock as Bill Clinton won statewide election as Attorney General in 1976 and as Governor in 1978. In 1980, however, Bill Clinton narrowly lost his bid for re-election as Governor, in part because Republican challenger Frank White made an issue out of Hillary Rodham's professional independence in the socially conservative state. White repeatedly emphasized to voters his wife was known as Mrs. Frank White. After Bill Clinton lost his bid for his second term as governor, the politically ambitious couple regrouped for a political comeback. Hillary Rodham began to identify herself as Hillary Clinton amid statewide polls that showed her reliance on her maiden name had cost her husband as much as 6 percentage points among voters. So it was a big deal in Arkansas. It appeared that she was trying to not necessarily be too independent, but rather distance herself from her husband. And I think, you know, you can make a case. To me, it's a non-issue. To me, a name is a name, and it's just a limiter and as far as how you identify yourself. But, you know, in Arkansas back in the, in the 80s, I guess it was a big deal. Anyway, goes on. Bill Clinton won a second term as governor in 1982. Hillary Clinton used that name for the remainder of her husband's gubernatorial campaigns and during his 1992 presidential campaign. When the Clintons moved into the White House in 1993 and the couple mapped an independent policy role on health care for Hillary, she began to use Hillary Rodham Clinton, a moniker she has retained through 8 years as First Lady and in her two Senate campaigns in 2000 and 2006. Shortly after the Clintons moved into the White House in January of 93, the Gallup poll asked 1,001 Americans in a telephone survey to gauge Hillary's decision to have people call her Rodham Clinton instead of just Clinton. The survey found 9% thought the name change was good, 21% thought it was bad, and 69% said, quote, it doesn't matter much, end quote. So Hillary is taking lessons learned from the political side of things and calling herself Hillary Clinton. Now, I think the response is twofold for that, the reason, I should say. And one reason is quite simply because it was an issue before. Where? In Arkansas. Well, the South is obviously a fickle, I guess, voting block, and she wants to appeal to as many people as possible. So she's going to go ahead and adopt the Hillary Clinton angle in terms of being more accessible to people. And as the gal had sourced there in that story, you know, 96% of women in the country have their husband's name when they got married. So, you know, she's trying to appeal to as many people as she could. It is a solid political strategy. Now, the other thing that I've mentioned, Hillary was viewed as a, you know, more or less a Southerner, spending so much time in Arkansas. But as soon as she got out of the White House, where did she go? She went to New York. And I've mentioned that, you know, to a lot of people, Hillary does not have Southern credibility anymore because she basically abandoned her state of Arkansas, abandoned the South in general, went to a more prestigious Senate seat, if you will. And I'm not saying that wasn't politically expedient, but at the same time, it probably resonates with people. I don't know about Arkansas for the most part. I would say that most people I know don't really care for the Clintons at all, either one of them. But they especially don't like Hillary. But maybe that's just me. So it's always been my assessment. In fact, I remember going on the air with this right after the 2004, the night after the election day in 2004, for presidents. And basically what I'd said was I foresee 2008 to be Hillary as president and John Edwards as vice president, because Edwards, again, for the most part, and I've made this sort of, this is just my assessment of how this thing will play out, because I think it's all fixed. But I think that Edwards has the charm and the Southern credibility that Hillary lacks now. You know, Bill has charm. Okay, he even has an accent. So at the same time, you know, he resonates with it. Hillary does not have an accent, except when she forces one, which she's been doing lately. This one from the 27th of April, Associated Press. Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Rodham Clinton said Friday she sees her sometimes Southern accent as a virtue. I'm glad they called it a sometimes Southern accent, because if you've seen it, and there's lots of little videos going around on the Internet, with Hillary giving speeches down south, and she just pours it on, thick as can be, Southern accent. And you know what she mostly does it to? Black audiences. I wonder why that is. Clinton said during a campaign stop at a charter school in Greenville, South Carolina, quote, I think America is ready for a multilingual president, end quote. Okay, she probably didn't say it like that. But anyway, the New York senator, who said she's been thinking about critics who suggested that she try to put a fake Southern accent on in Selma, Alabama, noted that she'd split her life between Arkansas, Illinois, and the East Coast. Clinton added a Southern lilt to her voice last week when addressing a civil rights group in New York City headed by the Reverend Al Sharpton. On Monday, dealing with a microphone glitch at a fundraiser for young donors, she quoted former slave and Underground Railroad leader Harriet Tubman. The two episodes prompted some ribbing in the media and hatched more than a few humorous YouTube video clips. Clinton is a linguistic polyglot, a Chicago native turned New York resident who works in Washington and spent 2 decades living in Arkansas when her husband Bill Clinton was governor. But observers have long noted her tendency to speak Southern primarily in front of black audiences, as she did with Sharpton last week at a civil rights commemoration in Selma in March. All the Democrats are vying for the support of black voters, a crucial constituency, especially in the early voting state of South Carolina. In 2004, black voters comprised nearly 50% of the state's Democratic primary turnout. So Hillary wants that vote. And to get it, she will quote Harriet Tubman, and she will do so with a Southern accent. Don't you try to stop her. She's pretty slick, I got to admit. I mean, and that would be because of the campaign advisors. I mean, the gal has no subtlety whatsoever. She's not even good at play acting like she's interested or that she cares. I mean, she's just got no tact whatsoever. A terrible trait in a president. Fine, I guess, for a senator, and fine, I guess, for a first lady. But for a president, I just don't see it happening, meaning that it's a good thing. However, I think it's a done deal. I think it's written in the stars, if you will, if you call the stars the big money people who facilitate election fraud. This one is from the AP, April 26th. A flock of small jets took flight from Washington Thursday, each carrying a Democratic presidential candidate to South Carolina for the first debate of the political season. For Senators Hillary Rodham Clinton, Barack Obama, Chris Dodd, and Joe Biden, it was wheels up shortly after they voted in favor of legislation requiring that U.S. troops begin returning home from Iraq in the fall. Now, as I mentioned, I think global warming is going to be a big campaign issue, but it's still early in the process. So maybe the political heavyweights were not thinking properly, because it says here, no one jet pooled, no one took commercial flights to save money, fuel, or emissions. So big old boo-boo on the part of the prospective Democratic candidates who would like to be president. They did not think green, if you will. All but Biden, it said, who flew on a private jet, chartered their flights, a campaign expense between $7,500 and $9,000. Federal Election Commission rules allow candidates to pay only the equivalent of a first-class fare to fly on private jets owned by corporations or other special interests. But a Senate ethics bill approved earlier this year would require senators flying on corporate jets to pay full charter rates. The legislation must still be reconciled with the House bill and has yet to become law, which probably won't happen. But it's a nice idea. Several senators running for president are abiding by it anyway, either paying charter costs or avoiding corporate jets altogether, as Obama and Republican Senator John McCain have done. Dodd pays full charter rates when he flies on private planes. The Clinton and Biden campaigns did not immediately explain their policies. What a surprise. Candidates who follow the more lenient FEC rules have a financial advantage. Democrat John Edwards, for example, regularly uses a jet owned by Dallas trial lawyer Fred Barron, who is also the finance chairman of his presidential campaign. His campaign pays first-class rates for those flights. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney also flies on corporate jets and pays first-class rates. For candidates who are now eschewing corporate jets, the cost difference can be significant. For example, a one-way first-class ticket on United Airlines with 4 days advance notice is $694 per person. A typical one-way charter flight on a small Learjet seating 6 people would cost $9,000. Critics of corporate jet flights for politicians say the difference in cost makes a private jet an extraordinary special benefit and can give corporate executives or union leaders unusual access to a candidate. Thursday's debate, set on the campus of South Carolina State University in Orangeburg, South Carolina, made for some whirlwind scheduling. Hillary Clinton, for instance, was scheduled to return to Washington Friday morning for an 8 a.m. address to the New York State United Teachers 35th Annual Representative Assembly. Then she was to fly back to South Carolina for an 11 a.m. event in Greenville. So Hillary jet-setting all over the place in a very non-green fashion. And much like Al Gore's taken to task for his carbon credits and his giant mansion with his extravagant electricity bills, which he can quite easily afford because people give him money, this might come back to haunt some of them. I don't know. But I think that they've learned their lesson from this chastising in the Associated Press, and watch for more green campaigning to come in the future. Stay with us, my friends. We're back after this short break. 3 minutes with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Welcome back. Talking about politics here. So again, there was a big debate in South Carolina, and they have some poll results here. And you can find this at SurveyUSA.com. It came out on the 26th. And it is about who won the South Carolina Democratic presidential debate. Here's what it says. U.S. Senator Barack Obama emerged a clear winner in tonight's debate among eight Democratic candidates for president of the United States, according to a SurveyUSA poll of 403 South Carolina debate watchers. 31% of debate watchers say Obama won. Obama, the only black candidate, was the overwhelming favorite of black debate watchers. U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton finished in second place with 24%. So it was relatively close, I suppose. Clinton, the only female candidate, did better among women than men. Former U.S. Senator John Edwards finished third, picked as the winner by 14%. Obama did three times better than Clinton, twice as well as Edwards among South Carolina's independents. So, you know, independents tend to like Obama. Blacks tend to like Obama. Women tend to like Clinton. It says Obama and Clinton tied among Democrats. Edwards and Obama tied among Republicans. Clinton won among white viewers. 60% of the debate viewers were white. 36% of debate viewers were black. So, in essence, Edwards and Obama did better among Republicans. Obama and Clinton tied among Democrats. So if you look at that, you got Clinton and Edwards would be able to pull from both Democrats and Republicans. Okay, so I think that's another thing. And again, I don't have a problem with it, but I think America would have an issue dealing with a female president and a black president, or I should say one being president, one being VP. Because again, you know, there are issues that come up. There are still a lot of racists out there. So I don't know. I just think that it's a big thing, and Obama has some skeletons in the closet that have already come out and been dismissed. And right now, he's kind of the fair-haired child of the Democratic Party, and really in politics altogether. I mean, he's very charming. He you know, everybody likes him, and you know, it is what it is. But I think that, you know, the plan has always been for Hillary to be president. I think she knows that. I think, you know, just about everybody knows it. Obama, he's relatively new. He might not be willing to be a team player. He might not be willing to simply go with the flow and allow Hillary to have this one so he can have the next time around or something. I don't know. And I really don't think that she would pick him as VP. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's just my assessment of the news stories in front of me here. This is the story about sort of the troops coming home, if you will. It's April 27th, irishexaminer.com. A defiant Democratic-controlled Senate passed legislation yesterday that would require the start of troop withdrawals from Iraq by October 1st, propelling Congress toward a historic veto showdown with President George W. Bush on the war. The 51-46 vote was largely along party lines, and like House passage of the same bill a day earlier, fell far short of the two-thirds majority needed to overturn the president's threatened veto. Nevertheless, the legislation is the first binding challenge on the war that Democrats have managed to send Mr. Bush since they reclaimed control of both houses of Congress in January. Again, even though this one is binding, and the past ones were non-binding, I think it's a non-issue because I think that they know that that the president will veto it, and this is, and they're fine with that. They didn't need the two-thirds majority. It's just a show that the Democrats don't want the troops home. They've just been saying, let's get them out of Iraq, which I think is a notable difference. Anyway, the 124.2 billion dollar bill requires troop withdrawals to begin on October 1st or sooner if the Iraq government does not meet certain benchmarks. The House passed the measure on Wednesday by a 218-208 vote. Republicans said the vote amounted to little more than political theater because the bill would be dead on arrival after reaching the White House. Mr. Bush said he will veto the bill so long as it contains a timetable on Iraq as well as $20 billion in spending added by the Democrats. So, you know, they intentionally set it up to fail, knowing that if it did fail, they could accuse the president of being, you know, stubborn on this. Independent Senator Joseph Lieberman sided with Republicans in opposing the bill, saying, quote, "We delude ourselves if we think we can wave a legislative wand and suddenly our troops in the field will be able to distinguish between al-Qaeda terrorism or sectarian violence," end quote. So Lieberman just leaving himself open to whatever, in essence. All right, so this is an intriguing twist on things as well. From the AP on the 25th, putting their congressional control to work, Democrats approved new subpoenas Wednesday and a grant of immunity for probes ranging from the prosecutor firings and White House political activities to President Bush's justification for the war in Iraq. So God bless these Democrats. And, you know, they've waited 4 years to start examining the Iraq war. I'm definitely being sarcastic. Democrats said the broad array of investigations represent a revival of Congress's role after 6 years of little oversight of the Bush administration by Republican lawmakers. The White House is pushing back, refusing to allow officials to testify under oath about the firings and arguing that top officials, including Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, subject of one of the subpoenas, have already answered questions about the administration's now discredited claim that Iraq was seeking uranium for a bomb. Said Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, quote, "I'm beginning to wonder whether the White House has any interest in the American people learning the truth about these matters," end quote. Yeah, that's right. You're such a fan of the American people that you're going to ask these questions long after they've, you know, been an issue. It's just despicable stuff. Stay with us, folks. Back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're talking about the Democrats and their big, big show of nothing, honestly, going on with their political games. But anyway, we went on. It says, Congress's effort is not driven solely by Democrats. Republicans have barely concealed their disdain for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's accounting of the firings of federal prosecutors, including his claims of a faulty memory. Yeah, if you've seen the clips of it all strung together, him going, I do not recall. Well, you know, we've seen and heard that before, right? But the Republicans who are putting on this show as well are simply just trying to distance themselves from the Bush administration, quite simply because, you know, any Republican who's going to be running for office is going to have a taint on them just for being a Republican. That's just a fact of the matter. Anyway, Senator Arlen Specter, ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, co-signed a letter with Leahy Wednesday urging Gonzales to freshen his memory and provide answers within a week, said Justice Department spokesman Dean Boyd, quote, "We are reviewing this request," end quote. Congress was ramping up investigations of the White House on several fronts, including the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee voting 21-10 to issue a subpoena to Condoleezza Rice to compel her testimony on the Bush administration's pre-war claims about Saddam Hussein seeking weapons of mass destruction. A little late for that, don't you think? Next door, the House Judiciary Committee voted 32-6 to grant immunity from prosecution to Monica Goodling, Gonzales' White House liaison, for testimony on why the administration fired 8 federal prosecutors. Again, we already know the answer to that, too. And Clinton did the same thing when he became president, by the way. The panel also unanimously approved but did not issue a subpoena to compel Monica Goodling to testify. The committee scheduled a May 10th hearing for Gonzales. On the Senate side, Leahy's panel approved but did not issue a subpoena in the firings matter for Sandra Taylor, deputy to Bush political advisor Karl Rove. Gonzales, meanwhile, was trying to mend fences in his first visit to Capitol Hill since his punishing appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee last week. He met privately with Senator Mark Pryor, Democrat from Arkansas, who has said Gonzales was not truthful with him about the dismissal of the U.S. attorney in Little Rock. The outreach did not take. Said Pryor to reporters after the meeting, quote, "I reiterated with the Attorney General face-to-face that I think he should resign. I think it is the best thing for the Department of Justice, and it's probably the best thing for him personally and this administration," end quote. Pryor's harsh words on Gonzales were echoed by lawmakers in both parties, although Republicans tended to leave out the actual call for resignation. Big surprise there. They're just putting on the show. They don't actually want him to step down because this guy's certainly doing what he can to facilitate the advancement of the Patriot Act agenda. On the prosecutor firings, it says the House Judiciary Committee approved 2 measures that would compel Goodling's testimony and grant her immunity from prosecution for what she says. So we'll see how that turns out. I mean, this whole executive privilege thing has been used and abused for a long time. April 26th, Associated Press. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Thursday she has already answered the questions she has been subpoenaed to answer before a congressional committee and suggested she is not inclined to comply with the order. Rice said she would respond by mail to questions from the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on the Bush administration's pre-war claims about Saddam Hussein seeking weapons of mass destruction, but signaled that she would not appear in person. She told reporters in Oslo, where she's attending a meeting of NATO foreign ministers, quote, "I am more than happy to answer them again in a letter," end quote. The comments were her first reaction to a subpoena issued on Wednesday from the committee chaired by Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat from California. Rice said she respected the oversight function of the legislative branch, but maintained she had already testified in person and under oath about claims that Iraq had sought uranium from Africa during her confirmation hearing for the job as Secretary of State. She said, quote, "I addressed these questions, almost the same questions, during my confirmation hearing. This is an issue that has been answered and answered and answered," end quote. Rice declined to respond when asked if she would absolutely refuse to testify under subpoena. Her spokesman, Sean McCormick, said later that no final decision has been made about Rice appearing before the committee. So we'll see how that pans out, I suppose, but I don't think you should hold your breath on that. Wall Street Journal Online from the 26th had this to say, President Bush's approval ratings slipped to new lows in the most recent Harris Interactive survey. However, he's not alone. For the first time since the series began, all of the political figures and institutions included in the survey have negative performance ratings. This is how happy, meaning, of course, unhappy, that the American people are with the political process here in America and the political offerings available to us. Look at this. Democrats, Republicans, we're tired of them. But yet that's all you're going to see in the mainstream media. You're not even going to get a whole lot of comments about even the ones who are running for Democrat and Republican tickets who are just lower in stature. It's just the ones who are news and who are names already. Those are the only ones you're going to hear about. So when you think about third-party opportunities and so on and so forth, I think that's very, very unlikely. And I think that we saw it in 2004 with the denied admission to presidential debates between Bush and Kerry of some of the independent candidates, and we all remember that. But this story goes on. Of the 1,001 Americans adults polled online April 20th to the 23rd, only 28% had a positive view of Mr. Bush's job performance. That's down from 32% in February and from a high of 88% in the aftermath of the terror attacks of September 11, 2001. The current rating is his weakest showing since his inauguration. So Bush is down to 28%. That's his lowest approval rating so far. That's bad. He was up to almost 90% in the aftermath of September 11th, indicating what? Well, just like the facilitation of a national ID card, just like the facilitation of a virtual dictatorship, as Tommy Franks had promised us, just like the facilitation of the outright dictatorship that we're seeing lined up here and the complete and total control of the powers that be here in America, a terrorist attack would certainly jack up the president's approval ratings, wouldn't it? And anybody else who could jump on the political bandwagon to facilitate their own political future. Anyway, so Bush at 28% approval rating, Democrats, you know, also in the toilet. Everybody's got a negative rating. Nobody likes the politicians who are available and the political process as we're seeing it. And yet, this story comes across, TimesArgus.com from April 25th. The Vermont House has rejected a resolution calling for the congressional impeachment investigation of President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. On a roll call vote of 60 to 87, the House voted against the resolution that the Senate passed last week. That vote came as hundreds of supporters of the resolution were gathered at the State House to lobby for the measure's passage. So hundreds of people show up at the Vermont House, hundreds of people saying, yes, yes, pass this, demand that the president and vice president are, you know, impeachment proceedings have are begun against these guys because these guys are evil. Let's get this thing going. Okay? Well, the vote comes down, and they rejected the impeachment resolution. Now, is that answering to the will of the people? Probably not. Representative Thomas Koch, a Republican, was the first legislator to speak out against the resolution on the floor Wednesday. Passing the resolution would add to the acrimony of modern politics and, quote, not make our troops any safer, end quote. Koch said, quote, one of the lessons we learned from the Clinton impeachment is that it should not be treated lightly, end quote. Yes, we can only impeach people for lying under oath about sex. We can't impeach them for, you know, killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people, right? We can't take this lightly. Now, the sex thing, yeah, we could take, yeah, that's fine. But death, destruction, and extraordinary costs, both in blood and in money, we can't impeach people for that. That's crazy. Koch said, quote, it ought to be reserved for the most egregious, most urgent high crimes and misdemeanors. It should not be about whether or not you support the president or the war, end quote. Amazing, right? Representative David Sutherland, a Republican also, questioned if Bush's alleged misdeeds rose to the level of impeachment. To prove his point, he referenced congressional testimony indicating that the president has the right to wiretap terrorists and read statements from prominent Democrats on the threat Saddam Hussein posed to the world. So you're saying, oh, man, the Democrats have shot themselves in the foot out there, you know, pounding the political podium against Saddam Hussein, and they didn't realize what they were doing, and now it's coming back to haunt them. Of course they knew what they were doing. This whole thing is fixed. But it's important to note that no impeachment is going to happen. Okay, these guys are cannibals for the most part, but they will look after the top dog. Representative Christopher Pearson was one of the few representatives to speak in favor of the effort on the floor Wednesday. His yes vote was to express, quote, his deep dissatisfaction with the direction of our country, end quote. So again, not really an impeachable offense, honestly. I'm deeply dissatisfied, so I think we should impeach the president. No, there are lots of good reasons to do it, but that wasn't one of them. Now, I've been alluding to a great many things facilitating change in this country, and a terrorist attack would be one of them. And who knows better about terrorism than one Rudy Giuliani? We talked about this a little bit last week. Find this at politico.com, April 25th. Rudy Giuliani said if a Democrat is elected president in 2008, America will be at risk for another terrorist attack on the scale of September 11, 2001. But if a Republican is elected, he said, especially if it is him, terrorist attacks can be anticipated and stopped. That's right, because everybody knows that Republicans are psychic and Democrats are not, right? And we all know that. That's common knowledge. Tongue-in-cheek again. Giuliani said, quote, if any Republican is elected president, and I think obviously I would be the best at this, we will remain on offense and we will anticipate what the terrorists will do and try to stop them before they do it, end quote. The former New York City mayor, currently leading in all national polls for the Republican nomination for president, said Tuesday night that America would ultimately defeat terrorism no matter which party gains the White House. He said, quote, but the question is how long will it take and how many casualties will we have? If we're on defense with a Democratic president, we will have more losses and it will go on longer. I listen a little to the Democrats. If one of them gets elected, we are going on defense. We will wave the white flag on Iraq. We will cut back on the Patriot Act, electronic surveillance, interrogation, and we'll be back to our pre-September 11th attitude of defense. The Democrats do not understand the full nature and scope of the terrorist war against us, end quote. Lies, Mr. Giuliani, and he knows what he's doing. Again, the guy's in on it. He's one of the guys. He's one of the gang. He's a company man. The Democrats have never said anything other than they want the troops out of Iraq. They are 100% united in the war on terror with the Republicans. Make no mistake about that. They just disagree with the Iraq portion of it. And they've never said, let's bring the troops home. They said, let's get them out of Iraq. We need the troops out of Iraq now. Well, where would you have them go? Mr. or Mrs. Democrat? Well, probably Iran. I'm telling you, they have never said they would repeal the Patriot Act. They never said they would get rid of the electronic surveillance, because I tell you what, that would win elections. But that would also indicate that the people have a say in the matter. But if you have the Democrats and the Republicans united on the war on terror, but in disagreement to the war in Iraq, then you have a campaign issue that fits the paradigm of what the powers that be want to create, which is another fixed election. So Giuliani also said, quote, America will be safer with a Republican president. This war ends when they stop coming here to kill us, end quote, said Giuliani in his speech. By the way, his comments are quoted with having exclamation points. So I don't know if that means he was yelling or what. But he went on to say, quote, never, ever again will this country ever be on defense, waiting for terrorists to attack us, if I have anything to say about it. And make no mistake, the Democrats want to put us back on defense. Exclamation point, end quote. Giuliani said terrorists, quote, hate us, and not because of anything bad we have done. It has nothing to do with Israel and Palestine. They hate us for the freedoms we have and the freedoms we want to share with the world, end quote. Again, I got to pick this apart. They hate us for our freedoms. So what do you suggest, Mr. Giuliani, want to be president of the United States of America? Giuliani would say, give up your freedoms. Acquiesce to the Patriot Act and the anti-terrorism measures. If you give up all your freedoms, they can't hate us anymore, and therefore they won't attack us. That's the rationale. That's what he's saying. They hate us for our freedoms. So give up your freedoms, and then they won't have anything to take from you because you would have surrendered it. Whereas I would say, if that's what they want so bad, why would I want to give that away? If this is something that is so valuable and so cherished and so important that terrorists, our enemies, hate us for this, why would we give it away to you, Mr. Giuliani, or to any government? He doesn't understand. He also said, of course, they hate us for the freedoms we want to share with the world. They hate us not because of anything bad we've done. They hate us for the freedoms we want to share with the world. Yes, that's right. Democracy at the barrel of a gun, or at the tip of a missile, or at the business end of a tank turret. Yeah, we just want to share freedoms with the world. That's all. We just want to give you some McDonald's and some Exxons. That's all. What's wrong with that, right? Giuliani continued, quote, the freedoms we have are in conflict with the perverted, maniacal interpretation of their religion, end quote. Boy, this guy is, he's an extremist, is he not? And listen to these comments. Giuliani said Americans would fight for, quote, freedom for women, the freedom of elections, freedom of religion, and the freedom of our economy. end quote. What does that mean? The freedom of our economy? I read that as saying the freedom for us to make money off exploiting you Arabs. That's how I read that, but maybe that's just me. Addressing the terrorists directly, Giuliani said, quote, "We are not giving that up, and you are not going to take it from us!" Exclamation point, end quote. The crowd thundered its approval. Giuliani also said that America has been naive about terrorism in the past and has missed obvious signals. He said, quote, "They were at war with us before we realized it, going back to the 90s with all the Americans killed by the PLO and Hezbollah and Hamas. They came here and killed us in 1993 with their first attack on the World Trade Center, and we didn't get it. We didn't get it that this is a war. Then September 11, 2001 happened, and we got it," end quote. So terrorism only started in the 90s. Well, who was in office in the 90s for the most part? That would be Bill Clinton. So Giuliani definitely playing the Republican-Democrat thing against each other. But again, the guy's an extremist. Now, think about his comments. I mean, they're incredibly offensive to most Americans. They're supposed to be. Okay? They are supposed to be. Why? Why do you have John McCain out there singing Bomb Iran and just making a total jerk of himself on all the talk show circuits and certainly all the YouTube clips? Because, again, for the Republicans who are playing by the rules, who are following orders, their job is to tank this election. And that's why they can play the hard line. So that way, if we do get hit again, then you're going to have Giuliani say, I told you, we need to get rid of all these freedoms. The freedoms that the terrorists hate us for, the freedoms we want to share with the world, like the freedom of our economy. Unbelievable. Stay with us back in three.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our web banner for the address. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. Just concluding with that interesting comment there by Rudy Giuliani and whatnot. Of course, who's going to respond right off the bat? Well, that would be one Hillary Clinton from HillaryClinton.com. Not HillaryRodhamClinton.com, of course. Came out on the 25th. Here is her statement released on her website. Quote, "There are people right now in the world not just wishing us harm, but actively planning and plotting to cause us harm. If the last 6 years of the Bush administration have taught us anything, it's that political rhetoric won't do anything to quell those threats and that America is ready for a change. One of the great tragedies of this administration is that the president failed to keep the country unified after 9/11. We have to protect our country from terrorism. It shouldn't be a Democratic fight or a Republican fight. The plain truth is that the administration has done too little to protect our ports, make our mass transit safer, and protect our cities." Now, does that sound like she wants to call off the Patriot Act and electronic surveillance? No. She says, quote, "They have isolated us in the world and have let Al-Qaeda regroup. The president has done too little in the war on terror." She's not trying to call it off. She's trying to escalate it. And guess what? She's saying it better than Rudy Giuliani. Okay? She's saying it much calmer, much more rational in her wording. And obviously it's a statement, not, you know, she didn't write this. Rudy Giuliani, he's pulling his Adolf Hitler impression, pounding the podium and, you know, doing his stiff arm salute there, goose stepping on stage, talking about how the terrorists hate our freedoms and we'll teach them a lesson and whatever else he was saying. So Hillary sounds pretty rational in comparison, doesn't she? Which takes, we should give Rudy the Academy Award here, because it takes a certain amount of craziness to make Hillary look rational. But here's what she's saying. The next president is going to be left with these problems, and we'll have to do what it takes to make us safer and bring Democrats and Republicans together around this common mission of protecting our nation. That is exactly what has to be done, and I am ready, and what I am ready to do. End quote. So very, very coherent and rational response to Rudy Giuliani's insanity. I'm telling you, she's geared up for this. They're making it perfect for her, making it easy. From the AP on the 25th, Democratic presidential candidates on Wednesday rebuked Republican rival Rudy Giuliani for suggesting that the U.S. could face another major terrorist attack if a Democrat is elected in 2008. The former New York mayor did not back down. Senator Barack Obama said Giuliani, who was in office on September 11, 2001, should not be making the terrorist threat into, quote, the punchline of another political attack. He said in his statement, quote, "Rudy Giuliani today has taken the politics of fear to a new low, and I believe Americans are ready to reject those kinds of politics," end quote. John Edwards said Giuliani knows better than to suggest there is, quote, a superior Republican way to fight terrorism, end quote. Giuliani stood by his comments. GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney told reporters in Salem, New Hampshire, that he agrees with Giuliani, saying, quote, "There's no question in my mind that Republican values keep Americans safer," end quote. Well, there you go. The Republicans are taking a hard line approach to this whole thing. If you don't think the fix is in, folks, it is. It says the Democratic National Committee accused Giuliani of failing to prepare for the World Trade Center attacks, among other criticisms of his record. So it's set up to fail, my friends. And obviously, you can see all this is gearing us towards one direction, and that is the fix being in for Hillary. They are creating all the conditions necessary for her to be looked at as a very sane, calm alternative to the Republican insanity of George W. Bush and his like. So very, very interesting things, my friends. I hope you've gotten something from the show tonight. I hope it's inspired you to look at all this stacked up against you and really take some time and find your faith and lean on that, because politicians, organizations, political parties, all of these will let you down on a regular basis, but God will not. Have yourselves a spectacular day. We'll see you in about 20 hours.